Indulge me, if you will, Peter, for just a moment.
Happy to.
I'm going to put a picture in your mind, a mind picture. Okay, you know that I have two dogs, right?
Yes.
They're both about 50 pounds. One is sort of a pit bull hound mutt.
Right.
Normal size, thin dog.
Good.
The other one
dog
is about legs that are about 2 inches long, and it is a corgi mutt, 50 pounds, like an enormous Subway sandwich with legs.
It looks like that dog was in an accident.
So this weekend, I decided to go out for a run and to warm up. It was a gorgeous day. I said, well, why don't I take the dogs with me?
No,
this is how this goes. I put one dog on one leash in one arm, one dog on the other leash on the other arm. You're getting the picture, right? Medium-sized dog, little tiny.
I did pretty well in math in school, so I already know how this is going to go.
And I live at the top of a hill, so any direction from my house is going straight down. And, of course, both dogs take off like they're shot out of a cannon.
Of course.
So they're going, they're pulling me, they're yanking me in either direction, and then they're switching over, so I'm switching the leashes as we're running. And you know I'm a slow start runner. It takes me miles to warm up. I'm having now to sprint behind them, pulling the reins back, and then... You know, this lasts for about a minute. I'm exhausted. I've already sprinted as hard as I can for a minute to try to keep up with them. Then the pooping starts.
Oh, yeah. The rat for you or for the dogs? The radical pooping.
So I have the little bags and I pick up their droppings.
Okay.
And now I'm the crazy man in the neighborhood with dogs running left, right, both leashes, pulling me every direction. I'm trying to keep up behind them. Bags of poop flopping in either hand.
Like you're the poop burglar running out of the poop store.
So I just wanted to open with that image of me behind the dogs. It's, you know, sometimes you try to do a good thing and it goes haywire.
Oh, my gosh. Well, welcome to the show, everybody. That's an incredible way to start. This is How Was Your Run Today? We're on episode 7, Brian.
Never thought it would happen.
I'm pretty sure we're going to get arrested any minute.
You're not really supposed to be able to do this, right?
No.
Just put it up on the internet and everybody can
listen
to it.
I don't know how this is happening. This is crazy. But okay, so
well,
be it.
Eventually we'll wake up and rub our eyes and it'll all be a wonderful dream.
So wait, what day was that run?
That was Saturday.
That nice day. Saturday was a nice
day
for a
run. Yeah, it was gorgeous here. How is your run, Peter?
Well, I'm also going to reference a story from Saturday as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in order to tell you this story appropriately, we have to take you back.
Okay. How far back?
We got to go back to the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
That's important because a very good friend of mine, who shall remain nameless, although he writes the music for the show.
may hear him in the closing credits.
You might hear his name in the closing credits. He and his lovely wife, Judy, had me and my girlfriend over for a post-Thanksgiving treat.
Okay. Leftover Friday, we call it.
Yes. And his wife, Judy, hails originally from Ireland.
She does.
Where in Ireland and in the UK, they really enjoy their curry.
Yes, indeed.
So she would take the turkey, and she made a turkey curry to beat the band.
I'm already jealous of the story.
And served it over rice, and it was lovely. And we had a great discussion, stayed there for hours, and just had a good old time. A good old crack, as they would say in Ireland. Don't make the face. That's what they say.
I've never been there. I don't know.
Anyway, so we do that. And on the way out the door, I get handed a Tupperware
full
of extra turkey curry.
Fantastic.
And I'm very excited to enjoy this later on with more rice that I'll make myself and all that. Now you have to forward back up to this past Saturday.
Wait, 2 weeks later.
8 days.
Okay.
And that's an important number, Brian. It's 8 days later, and it's about noon. Now, I've just gotten back with my son from having his haircut appointment.
Yeah.
And the weather is perfect out there. It's warmed up nice, as you
know.
As you and your two dogs know, it's gorgeous outside. So I'm thinking, well, I'm going to get out there at about 1 o'clock. So quickly, I decide I got to fuel. It's noon.
Of course you
do. I've had zero food.
You're going to go run 3 miles.
I've had no food, only lots and lots of coffee. And that's also really important to know.
Oh, boy.
So I microwave up all the turkey curry. Why only take some? Why not pour the entire Tupperware into a bowl that can't hold it with a little bit of leftover rice from a previous meal?
Sure.
And just stir that up with a big wooden
and
spoon.
Anything else you find in the fridge.
Yeah, and just microwave that for 3, 4, or 5 minutes. Get that really hot. Really mix that up. Then stand up for 15 minutes and just with a giant wooden spoon, because why dirty another spoon?
Fine.
Use a big wooden borscht-like spoon to just ladle that stuff into your gob for a good, 15, 20 minutes. And really
so
pack
fast
it in
you
there.
Can't even breathe while you're
so
doing
spicy
it.
It's so spicy, too. It's so hot, and I'm drinking a lot of water because I'm thinking ahead of time. I'm thinking, I got to hydrate.
And you do all that 15 minutes before you go for a run, of course.
Okay, so now it's 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, I've not given myself enough time to let this digest fully.
You certainly wouldn't go swimming.
Nope. So I let it slide till about 1:30.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I say, that's it. I got to go.
Right.
And I start heading out. I should have known when it hurt to tie my shoes that I shouldn't go for a run. But I thought, no,
you
I'm just getting
your shoes.
This is fine. This is fine. So what we often do on this podcast, mm-hmm. Brian, is we tell people what we think they should do.
Right.
I'm telling you a story now of what you should not
don't
do.
Don't do this.
I then proceed to run 4 miles.
How was it? How was the run? It was 50 degrees. It was magnificent.
Gorgeous out. I couldn't believe how beautiful it was. Here we were, the first weekend of December. I started to sweat.
Yes.
But I wasn't sweating from the running. I was having an adverse reaction to spoiled food, spoiled turkey curry.
How did you determine this?
8-day-old turkey curry that I had microwaved
you had forgotten to
and
look
pummeled
at the calendar?
Into my face.
Because it felt like Thanksgiving was only yesterday.
It was only yesterday. It can't be 8 days ago that I'm having. Yeah. I was having food that she made from leftovers the day before.
Yeah, right.
So it's really like a 9-day-old product.
Sure.
Really.
Sure. And we all know refrigeration is a wonder of modern technology.
And it was delicious.
And enables
it was delicious.
The life that we enjoy living.
It didn't taste bad.
However.
But something chemically.
Microbes.
Yes. Something was happening inside
40
me.
Degrees. Yeah.
So after the first mile. I wanted life to end. And I started to dry heave.
Yeah.
And had to pause the running and pause the watch because I don't want to get I don't want to mess up my mileage and my time. So I'm off next to Jamaica Pond dry heaving.
Sure.
I'm very worried I will make in my pants.
Yeah.
And they've shut off the fountains.
Of course, because it's winter almost.
So yeah, there's no fresh water anywhere. And I think for a minute that I will turn around and go back, but I say no.
Yeah.
You've run the Boston Marathon. Be a man. Keep going.
And this, folks, I'll just pause right here, is one of the dangers of running, and especially running long races. You think you're Superman. And
hubris,
you
Brian.
You have complete
hubris.
Control all over every of your body and your mind. And anything that may happen to you. And let me tell you, that's a falsity.
Miles 2 and 3... It was as if I was being stabbed repeatedly. Mile 4, I don't remember much of it because I literally couldn't see because of the sweat that was pouring out of my... Now, I'm running like a 10...
Were your eyes closed with concentration?
I was shutting everything down. And I think I ran a 10:45-minute mile.
So you were shuffling.
Oh. And all I could think was, what... possessed me to think
that
8-day-old turkey curry would be anything you'd want to eat in relation to any exercise 24 hours in front or behind an event. Why would you do that, let alone 90 minutes before?
So you're second-guessing yourself the entire time you're doing this while trying to maintain some sense of composure and keep your bodily fluids within your body.
Yep.
And then you kept going further from your home.
And I wanted...
Because you ran the Boston Marathon.
Yeah,
of
I can do this.
Of course you can do it. It'll resolve itself eventually.
Yeah, it was not good.
Sometime around mile 4, you'll just start to feel better. Right? This is the insane thinking.
And I really thought I was going to go for a good 6 or 7. And so I legged out a 4. It was horrible. Don't ever do that. If I can pass anything on, if I stroke out tonight and I no longer exist, if people could just know that, please, don't exercise and have turkey curry or the reverse of that or anything like that.
Well, now, wait a minute. There's nothing wrong with turkey curry.
No, it's great.
Certainly nothing wrong with Judy's turkey curry.
No, it's lovely.
Just don't wait a week and a half to eat it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then strap
maybe
on the running
freeze
shoes.
It.
I didn't freeze it.
Yeah.
Somebody else asked me that. Was it froze? No, I didn't freeze it.
No,
I kept
it in the refrigerator where it's good for about 48 hours tops. Right.
I think you could squeeze out 3 days, fourth day, but not double that, not 8 days.
Clearly, we'll have more, with that kind of thinking, we'll have more stories like this in the future.
Yeah, so that was that.
You know, this brings up a great time for our first listener question today.
Mm.
And this, I'm just going to go ahead and dive in because it goes really well with both of our stories.
Okay.
This is from a longtime listener, first time question. Whenever I find myself in the company of runners, the conversation often includes trading stories of painful, nagging injuries and non-elective surgery. That's true. By all appearances, jogging is an unhealthy practice that causes serious physical harm. Presumably, a runner could point to the pleasure of endorphin high as offsetting the permanent damage to joints and ligaments. But is that trade-off any different than justifying the use of illicit narcotics? Now here's the clincher. There are plenty of other forms of exercise that do not have these horrendous side effects. Why don't you do those? And I'm paraphrasing, you idiots. Signed, the jogging skeptic. Now I love this because, many people for years, decades even, I always said, no, I don't like running, or running hurts my knees. Once I became a runner and started really running a lot, I found that's not true at all. In fact, it helps clear up a lot of aches and pains and misalignments and especially joint pain that I may have had, because you're healthier and you're usually lighter and you're more flexible and you're stronger. You have better cardiovascular health. However, the point is a very good one by the jogging skeptic, which is, couldn't you do this on a rowing machine or an elliptical machine? What is it about running? Pete, I'll turn to you, even though I'm forming my own considerations.
Well, I have a couple thoughts, and I would agree with you that yes, in my particular experience in the last 2 years, I have been relatively injury-free, and I think it's because I'm running that I'm injury-free.
Yeah.
I think because I'm using my entire body a certain way, and there have been times where I've nearly pulled my back lifting something, or I've nearly overcompensated stepping somewhere or doing something unrelated to running. But because of the way I've been using my body, I think I've been saved 3 or 4 days of severe pain.
Right.
I also think the attraction for me with running is it's the outdoors. And,
right.
And I'm seeing that and being reminding of that now as we enter sort of what real winter is going to sort of come.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we just do yesterday, for example? We were on the treadmills. We were on tandem treadmills, not pointed toward each other, which would have been awesome.
we should
do that.
We were wearing Viking horn helmets.
Coming at each other. No, but we were next to each other. And and I hate it. It's a torture. It's awful. And I could see where if your only experience was that... all Lauren Maddens aside, your only experience is indoor running, I don't know why you would do it.
Well, and I think his point is that even indoor running can be torturous on joints and ligaments, perhaps.
Maybe.
But, why couldn't you just use a rowing machine or an elliptical machine to get the cardiovascular benefits?
You can.
And I agree with you. Mostly I'm thinking about this. It's really three things. One is there may be a... magazine and a group of people who talk about and encourage each other to go on the elliptical machine, but I don't know about it. But I know
I'm not subscribed to that.
You start talking about running, and you find out that every third person you meet is a runner and can't wait to talk about split times and the new sneakers they got, and yes, the injury they are recovering from last year. And it's a camaraderie thing, and it's a tribe sort of thing. The other is that I love being outside, and nothing gives me more pleasure than watching people walking around in their parkas and their snow boots while I'm in a shorts and t-shirt thinking that it's summer because I'm a furnace because I've just run 5 or 6 miles and I'm loving it. And I'm outside and I get to see different parts of my neighborhood, or when I'm traveling, different parts of a city or different parts of wherever I'm going. When I go out there for 3, 4, 5 miles, And you get to see different parts of the day as well. I have found that to be a fantastic side benefit of taking up running as a hobby or a form of exercise. And the third is racing. Certainly any weekend of the year, you can basically drive from your house not very far and run a 5K. Depending on where you live and what time of year it is, you could also run a half marathon or even a full marathon without really trying that hard. And most of them are pretty well put together. There's great people there, and it is a thing. It's a culture. Again, it's a tribe, and that's what attracts me to it. Even though, yes, I've injured myself, I've overdone it, I've overtrained, I've done all of those things, and yet, why do I keep coming back to it? It's because of those elements. Love being outside. And you know, if you're a quantitative person, if you like stats and numbers and keeping and marking down your progress and all of those things, you know, it's endless. You can track your own stats till the cows come home with running.
And you know, speaking of that, for anybody who's keeping track at the home office, I'm up over 6 miles for December, so I'm right on track to having the worst possible month I've ever had.
I was going to say, are we going to not make 31, Peter?
Stop talking about it.
All right, I'll tell you how I am on mine. The 2 days that I said I took off, I did elliptical and bike.
Sure, yeah.
Now, I did take a Friday off completely
from
exercise.
I think that's good.
But every other day, and I found I can't run every day at this point because I'm still coming back from the hip injury. So I just replace each day some sort of other cardiovascular exercise. So I'm on it. I'm keeping with it so far. I haven't done anything today yet, so we'll see what happens.
You know, it was so dark outside yesterday, Brian, that in the reflection of the window, yes. I could look over and see you.
Yeah, it was like running on a treadmill in front of a mirror. That's how dark it was outside.
And so I'm looking at me, and
at
I'm looking. I'm looking at me, and I'm looking over just a little bit, and I'm seeing you. And it was like a split screen before and after. You're the after, buddy. So I know you got the injury, and oh, you can only run a little bit. And I look like Santa's younger brother got dropped onto a treadmill and was just trying to figure out a way to get off.
Yeah, but who ran faster at the last half marathon that we both participated in?
Oh, I crushed it.
Yeah, you destroyed me. You kept looking forward for me, and I could never.
Could have sworn you were in front of me, buddy.
No. Couldn't, no, you beat me handily.
I barely did.
By, I don't know what it was.
That's another time. That's a story for another time. Hey, speaking of another time, people have asked, when are you going to have a guest on? Do we want to tell people that we're going to have a guest on the next show?
We're going to have a guest on the next show, and I'm hoping that it becomes a monthly sort of thing.
Monthly?
Okay. Every day we'll have a guest on our daily
don't
podcast.
Don't promise anything. Look at me with promising stuff.
Did like I tell you're going to run?
I'm at 6 miles for December.
That's great.
6 miles.
Well, I have some curry.
I'm good.
Okay.
I've had plenty. So do tune in next week. We should have a wonderful guest for you. And we'll see what's what with that. Anything else you want to say, Brian?
I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
No, I think we should roll the credits.
Well, then I'll just say that this has been episode 7 of How Was Your Run Today with Peter Villa and Brian Gould. Music by Jeff Cronenberg.
Hey.
Listeners, please contribute to the show with your questions and comments. Please do. For more info, like us on Facebook. Email us at howwasyourruntoday@gmail.com.
What's that address again?
Howwasyourruntoday, all one word, @gmail.com. And absolutely sign up to get this podcast automatically at iTunes and SoundCloud. And if you could leave a comment or rate us on iTunes, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, that's apparently a big deal.
That is a big deal. Hey, Peter.
Yeah.
Have a good run today.
Thanks, Brian.
Bye.